Okay, good morning, which is Rabbi Krohn. So we are on Kaf Beis Amud Aleph. We are approximately five or six lines from the very bottom, right after the word Teku. So just to orient ourselves, the Mishnah started talking about Chalitza, and we started discussing, there were three things that the Mishnah discussed in terms of the quote-unquote shoe that the Yavam wears. One was referred to as a minal. One was referred to as a sandal, and one is basically a sock. So we spent a bunch of time talking about the minal, which is a sort of like a leather, soft leather, slip-on type thing, about whether it was actually valid l'chadchila or only b'di'eved. We talked about assorted things related to that. From there, we segued into discussing a few things that were discussed by Rav Yehuda in the name of Rav. We're in the middle of those. But notably, we talked about the concept of chalitza and whether the ikkar of what's happening is whether it's the actual removal of the shoe itself, in which case something like ripping it off or burning it off might work, or whether it's actually exposing the foot is the ikkar. So we kind of went through some of that. So now we're going to pick up with more discussion around the shoe and other relevant things. So, Bai Minei Rav Nachman Mei Rabba. So Rav Nachman asked Rabba, Shnei Minalim Zeh Gav Zeh Mahu. What about someone who is wearing two shoes? You have a Yavam that's wearing two shoes, one on top of another. So this is sort of similar to what we discussed. One of the issues with the Minal was because it was this soft type of thing that would slip on or off, that people might strap it down, that would effectively cause two shoes. That was an art discussion. So what about if someone is actually wearing two shoes, one on top of the other? Hechi Dami, so what are we talking about? Ilema de shalfate ile v'kai taite. So if you're going to say that what happened here is that someone's wearing two shoes, and then the Yavama took off the upper shoe, but the bottom one still remains on, the answer that will be Ma'al Ash Amar Rachmana, that the Pasuk says that the Yavama should remove the shoe from on his foot, the low Ma'al de Ma'al, not removing a shoe that's on top of something else that's on top of a foot. So therefore, we would assume, just like we sort of assume by the Minal, that it's all about having one shoe directly on a foot, not removing a shoe that then reveals another shoe. So Lo Tzricha, the kare li'ilai v'shalfei l'tate. What we're talking about here maybe is that where she ripped the top part of the upper shoe and took off the bottom shoe. So the kai'ilai, and while the upper one remains on the yavam's foot, what's the case here? What's the halacha? Chalitza be'inan, do we require removal of the shoe? V'ha'ika. And now we have, here we have actually a shoe is being removed, but because you're removing the top of the top and the bottom one, or is it that the foot has to be completely bared? Or is it that the foot has to be completely bared, and therefore you're not really accomplished that? The leka, and here we don't have that. We don't have that the foot is being completely bared because the part of this of the one of the shoes is still remaining. So turning to the daf beis. Adamid base umi ika kihai gavina. Is there ever such a case where someone would actually wear multiple pairs of shoes? People typically only wear one. And yes, dechazei rabban and Rav Yehuda denafik bechamshi zuzei mukil shuka. That Rav Yehuda, we used to go out to the shuk wearing five pairs of light shoes. So and I think that the note says is that he had some sort of foot illness or chills in his feet or something like that, and therefore he would wear multiple pairs of shoes when he went out. So, okay, fine. So now, like we mentioned, that we're in the middle of discussing some things that was said by Rabbi Yehuda in the name of Rav, so now we're going to say the second one. I'm Rabbi Yehuda, I'm a Rav. Yavama she'idila ben ha'achin. So you have a Yavama who lived amongst the brothers of her husband who died. Right, so she's living there. Muteris linasa le'echa min ha'achim. She's allowed to marry or do yibam actually with one of the brothers that she is in the same household with. Ve'en choshesh, you're not worried. Shema chaltza sandal le'echa mihem. You're not worried that, you know, when they were living together in the house, there would have been a case where maybe she took a shoe off of one of her brothers and therefore caused chalitza. Because once she causes chalitza, she's no longer allowed to marry or do yibum with any of the brothers. So, you know, because she's living with the brothers, maybe they were doing something where she happened to pull off the shoe of one of them, and that would be considered chalitza. Taima de lo chazin. And the reason that she can still do yibum is because we did not see her take off a shoe from one of these brothers. Hai chazina chashina, which means that if we actually saw her take off a shoe from one of her brothers, that would be considered chalitza. Now we learned in a baraisa. Bein shiniskaven hu velo niskavna hi. Bein shiniskavna hi velo niskavna hu. Chalitza psula. So whether she intended it to be chalitza, and this doesn't apply to brothers, this isn't just generally speaking. If the Yavama intended it for it to be chalitza, but the Yavam did not, or vice versa, meaning that one or the other of them did not have intent for it to be chalitza, it's not chalitza. So just doing the act of pulling off a shoe, unless both parties agree for it to be chalitza or have intending it for it to be chalitza, doesn't work. Chalitza psula, achis kavnu shteyam be'achad. They both have to have intent for it to be chalitza or it doesn't work. So even if the Yavama happened to pull off the shoe of one of her brother or one of the brothers, it wouldn't be considered chalitza unless they had intent for it to be so. So hachikamer, so maybe this is what Rabbi Yehuda meant. Af al gav de chazin, and even though we may have saw the Yavama took off the shoe of one of the brothers, ein choshishim shemak sheva kavna. They're not worried that maybe the intent was there for them to do chalitza. So therefore, even though we may have seen her, you know, playing around with her brothers and pulling off one of his shoes, we don't worry that they had kavana for it to be chalitza, and therefore she would still be allowed to do yibum with one of the brothers. So another version of this discussion, the Ikud Amri, some say that what really happened was this, or what really was being discussed with this, Taima de lo chazina. The reason that Rabbi Yehuda wasn't worried about this is because we did not see her take off the shoe. Hai chazina choshin. But if we saw it, we would be worried that when they did that, they actually had they had kavana to do chalitza when it was done. Udaka tana ba'i kavana, and the bereisa that this Bora mentions teaches us that chalitza requires intent by both parts. So we're not concerned that we don't know whether or not the intention happened. When we see it happen, we worry that maybe they did have this kavana. Hanimil ishturi la'alma, but by this is only true about so typically the issue about kavana around the chalitza may, you know, that applies in all cases when you need to marry somebody, not necessarily someone that she's living with at the time. Ava la'achin mifsala, but so in other words, for her to do chalitza, she's not allowed to do chalitza with anybody outside of the brothers, right? So she has a zika to the brothers, right? So when the brother A dies, she has a zika to the other brothers, and therefore she's not allowed to marry a stranger, someone who's not one of the brothers. Once she does chalitza, that frees her up to do it to the outside world. So that's what's happening there, and therefore, you know, you need to ensure there's kavana for the chalitza for that. Avala achin mifsala. But when it comes to the brothers, once the chalitza happens, that disqualifies them from doing yivam with her. So it's kind of the reverse, right? So in one case, chalitza is what allows her to marry outside people. But in our case, with the brothers, doing chalitza prohibits her, disqualifies her from doing that. So in this case, because of the possibility that it was done done with the intention, we don't allow her to marry. The question is whether we allow her to marry the brothers or not, because we don't know for sure if they had the kavana of chalitza or not. So now the third thing that Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav. Sandal ha-tafar be-pishtan. So you have a sandal that was sewn with linen. So the sort of the assumption here is that shoes have to be leather shoes. Why? Ein chotzen bo, you don't do chalitza. With a chenemar, va'an alecha tachash, that you shoe someone with tachash. Tachash is some kind of animal hide. So there's like a whole thing that because he uses the word analecha when it talks about here, this comes from Yecheskel, it talks about tachash, and when it, so because that's the place where it mentions tachash, so therefore we learn out that a shoe has to be made from the tachashes, this like, I guess, leather. That means that a shoe has to be made of leather, kind of like from a tachash. Ve'ema tachash ein. But maybe we say tachash, the leather of a tachash is valid for chalitza. Midechrin alone, no other type of leather from any other animal is valid for a chalitza shoe. So it's not only that you're saying that a shoe has to be made out of leather and therefore you wouldn't be able to use a linen shoe, but maybe it's even more narrow where you say, no, it has to be the leather of a tachash, whatever that animal is. That's the only type of shoe that you're to wear. The Gemara answers, na'al riba, because it's used of the word na'al many times in the Pasuk, that includes shoes made of any type of leather, not just a tachash leather. So the Gemara asks, e na'al riba, so maybe what that would include, not only leather shoes, but other type of shoes. I feel a call me linami, it might include any other type of shoe. Why can't you just wear Crocs or something else? If so, that would include any other type of material, tachash mayan ahanalehu. So what would, knowing that we learn tachash na'al, the tachash around the na'al, what does that teach us? That teaches us that, so you kind of use a little bit of both things. So because he uses the word tachash, he means it has to be animal leather. But because it uses na'al more than once, you learn that it has to be, it doesn't necessarily have to be a tachash. See, from tachash, you learn that it has to be leather, but from the use of the multiple times the word na'al, you learn that it could be any kind of leather, not just tachash leather. So, by mine Rabbi Elezemi Rav. So, Elezemi asked of Rav, who shall or utrisosov shall say or mahu? What about if the shoe is made of leather, but it has straps that are made out of hair? So, it's not a purely leather shoe, but it has aspects of it that are made out of hair. Are you allowed to use that for chalitza? Armalei, milo karina vanalecha tachash. We learn from the pasuk that it says, you know, that we just mentioned from Yechezkel that I'll, you know, the shoe that I'll use for you is tachash. That comes from the animal. So if the hair also comes from the tachash, you would be allowed to use it. Ihachi, if so, kula shall say or nami. Maybe you should therefore be allowed to use any kind of hair, a shoe that's made out of hair instead of a shoe that's made out of leather, because in theory the tachash has hair and not, you know, not just its skin. The Gemara answers, ho karka makre, that footwear that's made out of hair is, you call the word karka, and not a shoe. So when it uses the word na'al, by definition, it talks about a shoe that's somehow made out of some sort of hide, animal hide of leather. But what if it was a hair shoe, it would have used the word karka. Fine. Amalei Rav Kahana l'Shmuel. Mimai dehai l'chaltza na'lo me'al raglo mushlafu. How do we know that when we assume that the word chalitza means taking off the shoe, right? Because what the pasuk says is, that the Yavama comes to the in front of the Zakanim, the Chaltza Nala Melo, and she quote unquote Chaltza the shoe from on him. So how do we know that the word Chalitza means removing the shoe? Because there are places where it says Vachaltza was Avanim Asher Bahem Hanega. So how do we know that the word chalitza means remove? So in the word v'chaltza was ha'avanim, it means removing the shoe, removing the stones. But maybe we know that there are other cases that it means to be ready, like, you know, v'ema zruzeyahu. Maybe the word chalitza means to ready yourself. Like the word, to go out chalutzim means to be like ready, prepared. D'chsev ha'chaltza meichem anashem ha'tzava. It means appoint from yourself, ready from yourself. Hi chaltzu, men for to go out to war. So maybe the word chalitza doesn't mean taking off the shoe, but it means readying the foot in some way. Maybe it means putting on the shoe instead of taking off the shoe, because the way you ready a foot to go out is you put a shoe on. So the Gemara answers, hasam nami shlufe mi beis lekarve. So when it talks about getting these soldiers ready to go to war, it also means removing them. It doesn't mean preparing, it means removing. It means remove them from their homes so that they're able to go to war. So it says that maybe chalitza also, in this case, also means removal. So Gemara asks, Vaksiv yachlets ani ba'anav. Another pasuk says that he will, yachlets ani, he'll support an ani in his poverty. So maybe again, this word yachlatz means to support or ready and not to remove. Mar answers, b'schar anav yachaltzu midina shegehenem. No, what it means is by supporting the ani, you're removing yourself. In other words, by the benefit of your helping the ani, Hashem will remove from you the judgment of Gehenna. You know, you'll obtain benefit. So when you're supporting the ani, quote unquote, it's not that the word chalatz doesn't mean you're supporting. It means that you're removing yourself from the din of Gehenna. So Gemara asks, "Hi elahai dechsev chona malach Hashem saviv liyareyav lichatzeim." The angel of Hashem encamps around those who fear him, and he supports them. Vayachalatz, again, it's the word support. So how do we know? So again, maybe this means support. Gemara answers, b'schar yireyav yichaltzeim medinam shugahenem. Same thing. Then in the schar for those who fear them is that he removes them, yachalotz, from the din of Gehenna. So the Gemara continues, elahai dechsev, but what about where it says, v'atzmosla yachlitz, your bones will strengthen you, yachlitz. V'amar Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar says, zu me'ula sheva brachos. This is the best of all the brachos. That the strengthening of bones is the greatest of the brachos, because it means that you're able to strengthen yourself. Amar Rava, and Rava says that bracha means zruze garme, the strengthening of bones. So again, maybe the chalitza means that you should put the shoe on the foot because of this, because you're giving the foot strength, just like this. The Gemara answers, ein, mashma hachi or mashma hachi. The term chalitza means removing, and it also means strengthening. The hacha I salka daitach zruzehi, but here about the avama, if you're going to think that the pasuk means to get it ready or strengthen, so therefore meaning put the shoe on, im kein lichtav rachmana v'chaltza na'lo biraglav. So what the pasuk says is v'chaltza na'lo me'al raglo, that you should take the shoe, remove the shoe from on his foot. So maybe instead of that, it should say chaltza na'lo biraglav. You should put the shoe on his foot. You should use a different word, meaning that if you were going to say, if it really meant to put it on, you would use the word put on instead of taking it from on, right? So the from on means it sounds like you're removing it. To put on implies that you're putting it on. So I kasav rachmana biraglo, if it used the word biraglo, havi amina biraglo ein, I would have thought that it means it actually has to be put on his foot. B'shoko lo, like we learned in the Mishnah, that it said that there's a person who has like an amputated foot, we learned that if the shoe was on like the lower part of the leg, it was valid, and if it was above the knee, it was not valid. So b'shoko lo, that if the shoe was on that part of his leg, you would say that if she put the shoe on his foot, that the chalitza would work. B'shoko lo, but if you put it on his leg, if there was a shoe that was attached to the stump of the leg, that wouldn't be valid. Kasav rachmana me'al raglo. And that's why the pasuk says me'al raglo, to teach us to afilu b'shoka, that even if she puts the shoe on his leg, that would work. So therefore, how would we know that the chalitza means removing the shoe? Im kein lichtav rachmana b'mal raglo. If chalitza would mean to put the shoe on the foot instead of taking it off, the pasuk should have said b'ma'al raglo, that it should be put on that which is on his foot, right? So that would apply whether it's his foot, you know, wherever this shoe is, whether it's on his foot or on his stump. My me'al raglo. So what does the word me'al raglo teach us? Shema mina mishlafi. Teaches us, because it says me'al raglo, that it has to be removal and not putting on. So continuing, amale hahu mina Rabban Gamliel. A certain mean, a certain heretic, said to Rabban Gamliel, Ama de chalitz nle mare mine. So the Jews are a people that the HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done chalitza with. In other words, Hashem has ended, God forbid, his relationship with Klal Yisrael. Dechsev, betzonov ifkarim yelechu levakesh es Hashem v'lo yimseu. That with their sheep and with their cow, they go to find Hashem, and they won't find him. Chalatz mehem, he has withdrawn from them. So implying that Hashem has ended his relationship with the Jewish people, and he's moved on to others. Amrleis, Rabbi Gamliel said to him, Shote, fool, mi kasav chalatz lahem. Does it say he did chalitza lahem, to them? It says chalatz mehem, ksiv. It is written, he got chalitza from them. the ila yavama, the chalza mina achin. If there was a yavama from who the brothers did chalitza, meaning if she tried to do chalitza by taking off her own shoe, right? If she tried to take off her own shoe, would that be considered chalitza? Certainly not. Mi de mishashas isbe. It can't be. So certainly not that even though the Jews may have acted incorrectly by quote unquote doing this chalitza like act, like taking off their own shoe, that wouldn't work. So therefore, even though the Jewish people may have acted incorrectly, Hashem's bond with them remains. It doesn't go away. Okay, fine. Continuing from the Mishnah. Ba'an pelei chalitza psule. If she did chalitza with a sock, her chalitza is not valid. Lememra da'an pelei lav min lohu. How do we know that a sock isn't considered a shoe? Maybe a sock is a shoe as well. Utran lei, we learned in another Mishnah. Eina toreb nichnas lo lupargod chafos lo lampalya. Someone who's separating truma and is not allowed to go into the pargod, which is part of the mikdash, with wearing a hemmed garment or a sock. So there's a concern that you want people to not to be people that are suspected of anything. So therefore, you wouldn't let them wear anything where they might be able to hide money, like a hemmed garment or a sock. So it specifically mentions a sock because in theory you can hide money in your sock. And you didn't need to say that he's not allowed to go into this wearing a minal like a shoe or a sandal. Because you're not allowed to go into the azara, into the temple courtyard, wearing a minal or a sandal, wearing any type of shoe. So because it specifically calls that a sock because of suspicion, you would learn from this that if a sock was really a shoe, you wouldn't need to call it out either, because we already know that you're not allowed to go anywhere in the Azara wearing shoes, whether they're a minnow or a sandal. And if a sock was a shoe, you wouldn't be allowed to wear it there either. So by virtue of calling it out for suspicion reasons, you know that a sock is not a shoe. Ureminu, and maybe we could argue with this from Yom Kippur, because we learned by Yom Kippur, Echad minnow v'sandav anpalya, lo yatilehem. A person is not allowed to walk around on Yom Kippur with a minal or with a sandal or with a sock. Lomi bayis lebayis, neither from one house to another. Lomi mata mita lemita, or even within his own house. So since you're not allowed to wear this on Yom Kippur, it would imply that the sock has the same status as a shoe because it talks about it together with the other shoes. So Amar Abaye, isbe betuse. The sock was a special type of, what we're talking about here is this kind of some kind of thing with like a rag in it. And we shum tanug, and they would wear it because it was comfortable. So therefore, because it was comfortable, they weren't allowed to wear it in Yom Kippur, not necessarily because it's considered a shoe. So Amalei Rava, you know, this challenges Abaye. We shum tanug below minal biyom hakipur miyisare. So is it forbidden specifically on Yom Kippur because of the enjoyment of wearing it and not being considered a shoe? By Rava Baravuna, haikarech suja ikrach benafka. Rabbi Bar Huna would wrap stuff around his feet and go out on Yom Kippur. So even though it gave him comfort, he would wrap up his shoes in something. El Amarava Lokasha, no question. Kanba Ampalya Sha'or. We're talking about the sock. You're talking about a leather sock. Kanba Ampalya Sha'begin. And here we're talking about a sock made out of fabric. Hachi Nami Mistabra. This makes sense. To Ilo Te Mahachi. If we didn't say this, Kashi Yom Kippurim Ayam Kippurim. We would have a contradiction between what was said about Yom Kippur in one case and another. With Tani, we learned it in Baraisa. Layitayel adam or karnas betok beisa. A person that can't walk around in this kind of like undershoe in his house, kind of like a sort of like an insert to a shoe within his house. Avamitayel ma'ampila betok beisa. But he's allowed to wear that within his house. So this Baraisa permits this sort of sock in the house, even though it permitted not wearing this sort of inner shoe. El lav shpamina, we don't learn from this. Kanban palusha or. Again, we're talking about socks that are leather socks. Kanban palyo shal begad. Here, the baraisa that allows you to wear socks is talking about fabrics. So shpamina, I learned from this. Tanya kavisei the rabbi, let's just conclude with this. Chalitza v'minal hanifras b'shakopa esrova regel. If she did chalitza with a torn minal, but covered the majority of his foot, V'sandal ha'niftach she'mekabel s'rova regel, or a broken sandal that covered the majority of his foot. V'sandal shel sham v'shel shiv, or the sandal that's of these types of materials. Beka ha'kitav, or with the wooden foot of an amputee. B'mok, or with a foot made of felt. B'smichas ha'raglayim, with some sort of support for feet. Mampalil sha'or, with a leather sock. V'chaletzes min ha'gadol, or she does chalitza from an adult. Ben omed, ben yoshe, ben mota, whether he's sitting or standing or leaning. V'chaletzes min ha'suma, or she does chalitza with a blind yavam. Chalitza k'sheira, in all those cases it works. However, avo b'minal anifram she'en chofes rog raglav, but if a minal that doesn't cover the majority of his foot, b'sandal nifcha she'en mekabel s'rob a regel, or a broken sandal that doesn't cover the majority of his foot, b'smichas ha'yadayim, with you know, supporting by his hands, not standing up, v'mpagel s'or, with fabric socks, v'chalitza min hakatan, or she just chalitza with a minor, chalitza psula. In those cases, it's not valid, and therefore from this, we learned that a leather sock is considered a shoe, while a fabric sock is considered not. And with this, we'll stop. Mirza Hashem will continue next week. But for now, everyone should have a wonderful day.